Well, hello again, everybody. This is Toby Milroy once again, Chief Operating Officer for NAPMA. And again, today we have Bob Dunn on the phone with us, and he's our senior NAPMA member representative. And today we're talking about this process is designed to help you smoothly implement one new system each week in your business. And if it's designed to be at a very fundamental level, right? This entire process, Bob, as you well know, our plan for this process is to help school owners, regardless of the level that they're coming into the association at, get them to the level where we can really build some significant momentum. And in order to be able to do that, we have to have a good foundation. You know, just like we all teach our martial arts students when they come in, if you're a traditional martial artist, you're teaching them the value of stances and how important it is to have a solid front stance or a solid back stance. If you build on a weak foundation, you're going to have weak results, right? And it's exactly the same thing in your martial arts business education, your martial arts business training. We have to make sure that we have a solid foundation. So far we've discussed and have implemented with you statistics tracking, how to attract new free publicity and press to be able to drive enrollments. We've discussed the information call. We've also discussed the use of student newsletters as a marketing tool and as a student retention and service tool. We've gone through our black belt reports that are designed for retention and service delivery. We've walked through the enrollment process. We've moved through our maximum impact monthly calls. And we're discussing another component of your monthly membership, one of the physical deliverables that you get. And it's called the Sounds of Success. And this is delivered by a couple of different mechanisms. Depending on where exactly you're at as a member, you'll either get it by CD or you'll get it by a download on the website, or in many cases, both. And the Sounds of Success is one of the most popular, Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's one of the most popular physical membership benefits because it's an easy to consume piece of content. It's a CD, it's an audio seminar basically, and you can pop it into your car and listen to it while you're driving to the school, you know, back and forth to the school. And the mission, the goal of the Sounds of Success are three things. And there are also three segments on the Sound of Success. Sometimes there's two segments, but there are a couple of segments on the Sound of Success, and here's what it's designed to do. Number one is we have, throughout history, but also, you know, each and every month, we conduct interviews with people that you need to hear from, right? One of the things, Bob, one of the pieces of the Sound of Success, let's just start there, is the Sound of Success interview. And in many cases, we interview a school owner who is out in the field running a very successful operation, running a profitable operation that has a system or tool that they're using in their school that they want to share, that we help them share with our membership. So that's something that's very popular. You have the opportunity to learn from, you know, successful owners who are out in the field trying new things, testing new processes, and they share their results. So, Bob, what kind of feedback do you get from that with school owners that, you know, non-members that you speak to or new members that are just moving through the association? This tends to be a very popular feature, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely. I mean, with the non-members, it's a feature that none of them have ever had to, or most of them haven't even had the opportunity to experience. And with our new members, just to back up, I mean, the reason it's first off so popular is that it is very mobile. I mean, a member can take this, download it onto their computer, put it onto their iPhone, iPod, or MP3 player, or even just leave it in their car and listen to it as they are, you know, in their travels. And so it allows them to really continue their education no matter where they're at. And, you know, then, of course, the big feedback, too, is that, you know, as we've mentioned before in the past, you know, that the education that that our team actually brings to the table is not only understanding what is working in our industry today, but also what actually is working outside of our industry that can actually translate and work perfectly in, you know, within the martial arts community as well. So these are things that are really helpful to all of our new members in getting clarity and understanding, you know, all these business points and what other school owners out there are doing that and how they're doing it. Because a lot of times, you know, it just takes a couple of simple tweaks and pulling a couple of simple levers that really make the difference in all of our actions and things that we're doing. So That's, you know, that's the major point. You know, it really allows our members to easily stay in tune and learn from what can help them today.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. And you mentioned three things there, and they're exactly the main bullet points for what I wanted to talk about today. And then I have an additional fourth. But you're exactly right. Number one is this is all about speed of implementation. Stuff happens fast out there, right? You know, the market changes quickly. You know, there are media, pieces of media strategies we're using online, offline, today that we didn't use last year at the same time, or that we used 2 years ago that are completely ineffective today. And this is one of the mechanisms that we use to spread that word quickly, right, to make sure that all of our members are up to speed on exactly what's happening. The second piece of that is that, like you mentioned, we are very effective at going outside the industry and bringing new things into it. And you know, obviously Stephen Oliver has been a huge mechanism for that in the industry. I mean, actually, Stephen Oliver was the very first person in the martial arts industry to use sequential autoresponder follow-up inside a martial arts school. And even today, now this is 8 or 9 years, this is almost 10 years later now, but even today, a lot of people don't even know what that is, you know? And that's something that, you know, he stole from another industry and brought back into the industry. And it's something that I've been, I've forced myself to be very good at as well. I come from other industries. I'm working with business owners in many, many other industries at the same time. And many of the big breakthroughs we have in our industry came from outside. We look at business models that are very similar to ours, and we see what's working in those other niches and bring that back to our martial arts school operators. So that's exactly right. And this is one of the mechanisms we use to communicate that. A third piece is that we additional to school owners who are out there doing it today, we also go and find high-level business experts from other industries or from, you know, personal performance and things like that, and bring them to you on the Sounds of Success as well. Some recent interviews, some recent contributors to the Sounds of Success are people like the guest at our last conference, Brian Tracy, Zig Ziglar, Anthony Robbins. You know, there's a huge gamut. Bill Amelio, Billy Blanks. I mean, the list is very long and very distinguished. So this is our opportunity to bring this, you know, monthly audio magazine to you, that we can help you, you know, quickly get up to speed. And it's basically like a martial arts business seminar in a box, right? That's sort of like the concept. And it's a very important piece of what you'll be experiencing through your membership. The final piece of that, which is what I wanted to spend a little bit of time on today, is on each Sounds of Success CD, I bring you the monthly marketing minute. And this is a very simple marketing strategy every month that is specific to the season, right? So if we're in October, we're probably talking about something to do with Halloween or the month of October or the fall. If it's back to school season, it's something that relates to that. So every month, we bring you one simple to implement, powerful marketing strategy that you should be implementing in your school. And one of them that is a common theme that we use in many, 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 during many seasons of the year are business-to-business promotions. So this is sort of one of the strategies that I'd like you to be thinking about and be implementing in your school this week. Obviously, the strategy for using your membership kit is make sure you pop that, you know, Sounds of Success CD out, put it in your car, or download it onto your iPhone from the website each and every month and try to implement that lesson. But the one lesson for this week that I wanted to contribute to you was business-to-business promotions for the season. And, you know, it depends on when you're listening to this recording, of course, but our model for business-to-business promotions, which are very effective, and is finding other businesses who serve the same types of customers that you want to serve. So I think that's the first paradigm. And Bob, I know a lot of our members initially have a bit of trouble understanding this if they've never done it before. You know, they think that, you know, the local dance school or the local gymnastics school and places like that are their direct competition. And in some ways that's true, but in many other ways, if you can have a clear dialogue with another business owner, another entrepreneur who thinks like we think, and what I mean by that is we think about win-win opportunities, then there are lots of collaborative opportunities that you could be maximizing with other people who have similar businesses in your community. So let me give you one fair warning before we get into some details on this, because Bob, I really think this is of value for everyone listening to get out into their community. And again, what we are trying to create are the top 20 percenters, right? The people who are going to help us lead the martial arts industry to the next level, right? And you will learn, as you're listening to all this, you will start to have shifts in your thinking. You'll start to be able to identify opportunity where most other people identify obstacles, right? Mm-hmm. Just like your black belts do, right? Just like you teach your martial arts students. If you're teaching sparring or whatever, if you're teaching fighting, if you're teaching sparring, most people, most non-black belts see someone firing a sidekick at you, and all they see is this huge foot coming at them, right? But now, of course, your black belts don't only see that, right? They see opportunity. They see, well, look, he's only on one foot, and maybe I can stay outside of his range, or maybe I can angle in to the left or angle in to the right and hook kick or counter in some way, right? So that's what your brain needs to do through this business evolution. You will begin to see opportunities where other people see boundaries and limitations and constraints, right? So let's talk, for example, in this business-to-business concept about the local gymnastic schools, okay, or dance schools. Yes, true. They are probably marketing to the same list we are. They are probably trying to attract the same customers we are. But what about their dropouts? What about people who were members of the dance school last year but dropped out last year? See, that's a huge area of opportunity for martial arts schools. Now, if you can go meet the gymnastics school instructor or owner and take him to lunch and say, hey, listen, I know that we're out here, marketing to similar customers and to similar, demographics and those types of things, and, we should probably figure out how to do that cooperatively. But, there's low-hanging fruit in the lists that we already have. What if everybody who drops out of my martial arts academy, I hand them off to you maybe after 2 or 3 months of us trying to get them back in or whatever, maybe I hand them off to you and vice versa. You hand off all the people who used to be dance students or who used to be gymnastics students. See, I mean, that's a very simple paradigm shift. But, and if you are already thinking this way, listening to this recording, then I certainly am not trying to insult your intelligence. But unfortunately, the overwhelming majority of owners in our industry never get there, right? They just never think that way. They only think about, well, he's my competitor, and I don't like him because he is at the same carnivals I am and at the same fairs that I am, and you know what I mean? That just doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, it's all about creating win-win opportunities. So what about meeting all of the other local martial arts school operators in your area? They have dropouts too, right? They have people who, for one reason or another, stop training. Right? Maybe it was because, they just weren't comfortable with that instructor. Maybe they really love martial arts and they would love to train somewhere else, but for some reason they just had, maybe they moved across town. Or maybe they, became injured and just got out of the habit, and this is an opportunity for you to communicate with that person now, right? So those are just two quick examples, and those are probably the most difficult examples, right? But I think if you start there, if you think about someone who you think today is your direct competition, think about what opportunity there might be to have some synergy with them, right? Now, so let's back off a minute from the most difficult opportunities and talk about some low-hanging opportunities. Well, for us, we're in the family market, of course, in the schools that we operate. But so let's talk about the family market for just a moment. And let me pause for a second. Bob, does that make sense to you? If you were a martial arts school operator, I know that you might feel the school operator down the street is your competition, and you might feel that the guy who runs the gymnastics school or the gym or whatever, He's your competition. Does what I described make sense? I mean, you know, there certainly is opportunity there. Does that you know, make sense and resonate with you?
Absolutely. I'm sure there's some of the people on this call that have probably been able to build that bridge. But trust me, I talk to a lot of school owners out there, and, you know, the perception they have is to put up that iron curtain, you know, to try to shield their students that they currently have from any of the other business stealing them. And most of the reason is the reason they don't actually choose to venture out is that they just don't know how to build that bridge, how to merge that gap, you know, between the two, you know, that business-to-business relationship. And I think that it would be even helpful if you could even maybe, you know, simplify on some of that, because that's one of the areas of challenges. I mean, most of our guys, they're all fantastic instructors, they're great black belts. But, again, when it comes into dealing with that sales business proposition opportunity, there's a big gray area out there, and so any help, I think, Toby, that you can help, you know, in embellishing on, or, you know, maybe clarifying or even simplifying would be very useful on this call.
Yeah, well, and you know, let's spend some time with that, but let me also clarify my position on this. Look, you know, I had a former business partner, pardon me, and he's a great guy. Right, I mean, really, really, really a great guy, and a fantastic martial artist, and really one of the best martial arts instructors I've ever met in my life. I mean, a fantastic instructor. But there was always this kind of underlying, you know, spike for other people in our business, in the industry, in our area. I mean, there was always the, you know, the one student who was mad at the school owner down the road, and who came to us and told us how much of an idiot that guy was, right? And we believed it, right? Because, you know, we wanted to think that. We wanted to think that we were the best at what we do in our area, and we wanted everybody else to be, you know, not good, you know? But I think that hurts the martial arts in general. You know, the better we all are, the better the industry will be. You know, it's like emerging economies and things like that. I have kind of an esoteric approach on this, but your candle doesn't shine any dimmer if someone else lights their candle from yours, right? In fact, it does nothing but give more light in that area, right? So it's not about trying to get a bigger piece of the pie. It's about how do we make the pie bigger. You know, there's only about 6 to 8% of potential prospects who are participating in martial arts. So let's figure out how to make that 20%, right? And then everybody does better. The entire industry does better. But anyway, so I know where that comes from. I know how that feels and where that comes from. But, you know, you're going to learn you want to be a more progressive thinker, right, and find opportunity. Look, if you choose not to work with any of the other schools in your area, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But there are lots of other opportunities like that. So let's go, like you said, Bob, let's go back. Let's start at the beginning. Let's ignore the difficult ones for just a moment, which would be other school owners, you know, other people who you feel that you may be in competition with. Let's talk about people who are completely collaborative to what you're doing. And in the family market, of course, that short list is, you know, elementary schools and daycares and churches and youth groups and park and rec departments and places like that. So what you want to do is build a profile of businesses who are marketing to the same customer that you're marketing to, that you want. So if you're in the family market, our best customer is probably the mom of an 8 or a 9-year-old who is, you know, middle or upper middle class, who is really interested in her child's development, right? So let's think about other businesses who share the same customer. Well, obviously the local pediatrician, you know, who's 4 doors down or a block over from your martial arts school, is probably looking for the exact same customer, right? You know, they need families that have kids and that occasionally get sick, right? Which is like all of them, right? So business-to-business promotions with the local pediatrician. You can meet that pediatrician and say, hey, listen, you know, I've got a program that really benefits kids, and I'm sure you have a list of your customers, of your patients. I would be happy to do an endorsed direct mail piece to all of my customers and all of the people that I have in my martial arts school, and all of the leads that I have on my lead list, and, you know, whatever. And let's do a mail swap how about we mail a package from you to all of my people, and we mail a package from me to all of your people? And maybe in that package we have a little lift letter that is all of the letters that we send to your customers is a little lift letter from you introducing your customer to me, and vice versa. So when they get the package, they're getting a package from their pediatrician. And the letter from the pediatrician says something like, you know, dear Mr. Jones, I really appreciate you as a customer, as a patient of mine, and I'm always looking out for your best interest, and I'm really happy that you come to me whenever you have a need. And I just met this gentleman down the road, and his name is Toby Milroy, and he runs a chain of martial arts schools who is really helping children stay fit and be safe and become better adults, right? And I really thought you might want to meet him. And he's agreed to give anybody who's interested a free, 4-week program plus a uniform plus whatever, da da da. You know, I highly recommend that you take advantage of it. You know, it's really something that I think could benefit you and your family. And here he is, and then that introduces you in the mail package. See, a business-to-business endorsed direct mailer like that, something like that, our most successful endorsed direct mail campaign is exactly the campaign I just described. It was from a local pediatrician, and we did a joint venture to cross lists, right? The second most effective endorsed direct mail campaign we've ever done was a local sports team, who the coach of the sports team did a very, same thing, a nice introduction and all of that. And the angle of that marketing campaign was, soccer season is over in 2 weeks. What are you going to do for the next, 8 months to stay in shape, to stay sharp, to stay, flexible and, all that. And we had a great conversion rate on that as well. So, think of the pediatrician model. If you get a letter from your pediatrician, you're probably going to open it, right? And you're probably going to read it. And if he makes a recommendation, you're probably going to take it pretty seriously, right? So does that make sense, Bob? I mean, is that? I think that's about as 40,000 foot in the air as you can get. So draw a big circle of businesses who have the same customer you do. And my example on this, Bob, I say it all the time, and I almost hesitate to say it again because I say it so much. But you want to be like a bear, right? You want to be like a bear, and there's two different kinds of bears in the woods, right? And the smart bear is the one who sees the stream filled with salmon all swimming up to the spawning grounds. And he tromps out in the middle of the stream and stands in the water hip deep where the current is the strongest and snatches up all the salmon he wants to eat, right? Mm-hmm. But the other kind of bear is the one that's a little timid and kind of afraid, and he doesn't want to get his feet wet. So he stands on the shore. And yeah, maybe every now and then kind of a sickly, thin little salmon swims by, and he can grab him. But the eating ain't great, right? So mm-hmm. the bear that goes out and gets in front of the herd, right, he goes and stands in front of where the salmon are the thickest. He's the one who wins the game, right? He's the one who gets fat and happy and can hibernate for the rest of the winter, right? So that's the bear you want to be. So you find out where the salmon are running, and you go stand in front of them, right?
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the non-family example. Let's talk about, for example, if I'm not in the family market, perhaps I teach only adults, right? And let's go way on the other end of the spectrum. Let's say I teach only adults, and let's say I teach only hardcore, quasi-militaristic, close combat, close quarters combat self-defense stuff, right? Let's say that's me, right? Let's say that's what my school is all about. Nothing wrong with that, right? I love it all. I love all martial arts styles, right? So let's say that's my business. Let's say my business is hardcore, that stuff. Well, then who might be great business-to-business, partners for that type of a business? Well, obviously the local police academies and the local police departments would be great cooperative joint ventures, right? I'm sure every police department on the face of the planet would love to have their department be more trained rather than less trained, right? And if you can make your curriculum congruent with what they're teaching in their own academies, it's even better, right? What about the local corporations who employ those types of people? How about the local sporting goods store who sells guns and archery equipment and survival equipment and camping equipment? You see, those are the same types of people, right?
Right.
So that's what you're looking for. You're looking for businesses who sell to and who want the same customer, the same type of customer that you have. Does that make sense, Bob? Any thoughts or questions on that?
No. I think you're right on there, Toby. Yeah, that's very useful. You know, because a lot of those guys actually feel that they're out there in the cold that are teaching directly to the adult market. I've spoken with a lot of our guys that teach Krav Maga, which kind of falls in that limelight, and they've had that challenge. And again, you know, there's many of them too that through the support of NADMA have really been able to open their eyes and look outside the box and find those areas of opportunities. And those are the two key areas. Actually, the police departments are very viable for helping them with, the marketing. But you've actually pointed out a couple of others that would be useful to that adult market. But, I think that everything is going right in the right direction, Toby. I think you're really helping out a lot here.
Well, yeah, and again, police departments, fire departments, search and rescue, any of those civil jobs that have that angle, that slant, right? But then when you're going to the general consumer market, I mean, again, like you said, Bob, there is no type of school, there is no style on the face of this planet that we haven't figured out how to make a successful school teaching, right?
Right.
Now, with one caveat. The one caveat is if it's appropriate to the market, right? So meaning I would not recommend, nor would I endorse or help, a school owner who teaches, hardcore, militaristic, aggressive, Krav Maga-ish type stuff, right, to, 4-year-olds, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just simply not appropriate to the market. But regardless of the style, there is a niche market out there that wants that style, right? Right now the UFC is a big, I believe, detriment to our industry in general because it really turns off the family market, which is the core of the martial arts market. 70% of martial arts students are under, 14 years old. So when people see, when parents see things like the UFC, it's not something that they're excited to get their 9-year-old involved in mostly, right? Nor do I believe it's appropriate for the average 9-year-old. Now, it doesn't mean that there isn't a place for mixed martial arts academies or schools. There's a great market out there for that, right? But it's about targeting the market and about learning how to go get in front of them, how to attract them to your school. And I think as long as it's market appropriate, there's enormous opportunity for anybody in this industry, right? So let's take the middle of the road. So let's say I have adult program and I have a kids program, and it's kind of a quasi-traditional martial art, maybe a modernized version or something like that. Well, then, the list is, again, daycares and gymnastics academies and dance schools and youth programs and anything that your city is doing for their, youth programs and things like that. There's just tremendous opportunity. So, again, it's all about identifying exactly who your customer is, who your perfect customer is, and live a day in the customer's life. Where do they go to eat? Those are the restaurants you should be working with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in my example, again, we're targeting upper middle class families. So great business-to-business partners for us are coffee shops, Starbucks, and the Boston Gourmet, and Panera Bread, and, sort of those, middle to upper scale restaurants that we know that they go to, right? We know where they hang out. So you live a day in the life of your prospective customer, and every place that they go, every person they interact with, every business they do business with, those are your targets. Those are the people that you want to now be friends with, right, and take to lunch and, figure out where there's synergy and where there's collaboration opportunity, right? So that's that. Now, one of the things that I had done in our academies, and we still do to this day, is, I would every week make it my mission to, take somebody to lunch. And sometimes it was a local reporter, so I could, you know, get my foot in the door to do a lot of public relations activity. I would always try to, at least once every month, I would make it my mission to take a millionaire to lunch, right? So I would find, you know, people in my community who were very successful. And I chose to surround myself with people who had become very successful. So, you know, the guy who owns the big local construction company, you know, who the big real estate developer, I would go find out where their offices were and meet the secretary and bring the secretary cookies and what do they call it? The assortment package, or whatever, I can't remember, the sampler, you know, and meet them and find out, you know, what the schedule was like and get on the schedule and take them to lunch and, you know, just chat with them and learn from, you know, those types of things. So it's the same process. You just want to make that your mission every week to meet a business owner who has a similar business model to you. By the way, another example in the family market, which was always very popular and successful for us, was tutoring academies. You know, Sylvan Learning Center and Huntington and Math Monkey and Kumon and all of those types of private tutoring facilities. They have a relatively condensed customer relationship, you know, meaning they typically teach a student for 2 or 3 months, and then they're kind of done with their program. Well, what a great recommendation for them to, a great ability for them to recommend you at the conclusion of their program. Say, hey, listen, you know, your program is over, you've made the grade increase that you wanted to, great, now to keep that progress going with your focus and your self-esteem and your self-confidence, I highly recommend that you get involved in, you know, Mr. Jones's XYZ martial arts program, and here's the information, and here's who you can call, and, you know, if you don't mind, I'll have him give you a call tomorrow, something like that, right? Now, let's talk a little bit about reciprocity here. Everything you learn from us, everything you learn in this process is about WIIFM. What's in it for me? The customer, right? All of it, I believe, just as Zig Ziglar always, you know, says, you can get anything out of life you really want if you can help enough other people get what they really want, right? So all of these business-to-business relationships are just like that. You should go into each of these B2B relationships with what's in it for them, right? So how can you help them accomplish their goals? How can you help them acquire new customers? How can you help them? And we have lots of collateral to be able to do that. We have a couple of hundred students in our school. We have leads that we're collecting every week and every month. We have, you know, students who aren't training in our school anymore. You know, we have all of this as collateral that we can use to as leverage with that business-to-business partner. So if I'm the owner of a Sylvan Learning Center, I would love to partner with a martial arts school who could do an email blast out to 5,000 families that says, hey, you know, do you have trouble with your grades? Do you, you know, whatever. Here's a great solution for you, you know, and you can do that kind of collaboration. We've also done monetary affiliate programs where if that pediatrician or if that tutoring academy refers a student, and they become a student, they enroll in our school, we'll give that person a financial commission, that business a financial commission. You know, maybe we give them a $250 commission, the down payment that the student pays, or the first month's payment, or whatever. I mean, you know, it depends on what you're comfortable with and what you can, you know, what you can kind of come to terms with. But always be looking at these relationships as what's in it for them, the JV partner, the joint venture partner, or the business-to-business partner. And then obviously you already know what's in it for you, right? You're going to try to build that pipeline through to their customer base or to their former customer base or to their prospect base. One of the biggest deals I've ever done in gross numbers of prospects, which is, by the way, one of the, you know, some of the things I'm doing with NATMA now at a bigger scale, but I did a deal with a local movie theater, and there was a karate-related movie that came out, and we orchestrated a contest. I did all the work, right? My what was in it for them was I'll do all the work, pay for all the expenses, and do all the marketing for you. So what I did was, you know, the karate movie was coming up. Everybody who bought the tickets to the karate movie got a registration form. When they walked in the doors, I put up a big wheel and a big contest thing, and we were giving away, I don't remember what it was, but it's whatever the cool thing is. So maybe like the iPad or the iPhone or the new plasma TV or whatever, the vacation, you know, whatever it is. We were giving away a big prize, and we would collect these registrations. So we collected, you know, several thousand registration forms. I entered them all into my email database. Those now became prospects for my martial arts schools. But also, I helped the movie theater market to that list as well, right? So when the next movie came out the next week, I did a couple of email blasts for them, you know, and helped them drive new customers into their movie theater. And that became a very productive relationship that lasted a long, long, long time, and to this day is still going with the franchisee operating that location. So again, there is tremendous opportunity in these business-to-business relationships. You just have to think outside the box a little bit. So, Bob, I hope we accomplished our goal today. I think I've given you some, you know, some step-by-step, you know, nuts and bolts. But, you know, even more than the nuts and bolts, I think it's just really important that you think like a top 20 percenter, you know? I think, you know, our industry needs to be led by the top 20 percenters, and that should be you. And the only way we're able to move the industry to that next level is by thinking outside the box, by thinking differently than the mediocre majority thinks, by acting differently than they act, and by being more aggressive, by being more proactive, by, you know, by pushing the industry forward, by pulling the industry forward. So, Bob, any questions about that? If you were an owner in this position and perhaps you hadn't pursued any of these types of relationships before, or perhaps you had and ran into some obstacles or something like that, any thoughts or questions you might have about that?
Well, I think you've covered them. All those areas of opportunity, you know, and understanding it better, understanding better how to build that bridge, you know, how to approach another business partner, another business in your area that could fit your market, and also helping, you know, to better understand how to, I don't want to repeat myself, but to, develop that win-win opportunity for both of those guys. And I know that, you know, in the past and still ongoing, you know, the Sounds of Success definitely hits on a lot of these key points and, plus much more. But I don't really have anything, Toby, that I can think of off the top right now that, you know, that actually I could, you know, ask for more embellishment on. I think that you've covered all of the, you know, the normal questions that I do get or any of the concerns that I normally get from new school owners that may have dabbled in it and they had challenges. You covered that. And those that never even thought of it before, well, you've more than covered that. So, I think it's very fulfilled.
Okay, well, good. So, you know, we did go, you know, pretty much over our time today, so I apologize for that. But I thought this was, you know, so valuable that, it's really worth effort and opportunity. I mean, you know, again, this is all about direct response. It's all about how can you penetrate a list of potential customers, of potential prospects that perhaps you're not right now. And this is really a lever. This is one of those big, you know, big rocks, right, that you can start implementing in your school that really has big, tangible results. Again, if you can do one endorsed direct mail package to a list of pediatrician customers. Maybe they have 500 patients. Well, I don't know. I mean, we had a great response rate when we did it and continue to have good response rates with similar processes. So, you know, this is a great opportunity. If you have questions about these things, you know, get on that monthly call first Wednesday of the month. Shoot us an email with a question. We'll make sure we address it either on the TV program or in the member package or on the audio CD or on the telephone call, right? There's just, you know, huge opportunity for you to get those questions and concerns aired and answered. So, I think that's the step to take. So, you know, get out there and meet these people. You know, draw that circle. Who's your best customer? Find out who else has that customer, and go meet them. Take them to lunch. You know, have a chat with them. Say, hey, listen, you know, we should be working together. How do you think we should do that? How do you think we might be able to do that? And just see what comes out. You know, you will be surprised. You'll be surprised at two things. Number one, keep in mind the warning that I gave you at the beginning. There will unfortunately be a lot of people who don't think this way. Right? There will be a number of people that you take to lunch who just can't see it. Those are the people you just don't want to spend much time with, right? You just don't want to spend much time on them. But there will be some who say, yeah, you know what? That really does sound like a good opportunity. You know, I've got people who aren't customers anymore, and, you know, I can't really do much with them. So why don't I, you know, perhaps have a way to monetize them further, or, you know, serve them further, or, you know, get them in front of you, you know, those types of things. So I think there is enormous opportunity in this. I know that there is enormous opportunity in this. We're using it every day, every week, every month in our own schools. So I hope that's useful for you. And again, thank you so much for your time today, Bob. Thank you for your time today. Thank you guys again so much for your time, Bob. Thank you so much, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you, Toby, and we'll see you guys soon.